sovereign hand. Oh, be my guide. Faith may fail, a fear surrounds me. You've never failed, and you won't start now.
Double blessing.
What a blessing. Amen.
We'll change over the service. I think laid the foundation for him to come. Amen.
Amen.
Glory. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you, to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we say, holy, holy, holy.
Are you loving?
Power and love as we sing. Holy,
yes, Lord, accept our worship.
Holy, 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 holy,
and I want to see you. Amen and amen, and I want to see him, don't you? Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Ephesians 1, and we'll try to continue our thought. I didn't add any notes to what we're doing tonight. I've got some things just written down that come to me, and I want to just, whatever it is, I want to see if you can just preach right through it without having to read and all like that, and maybe we can get a better understanding, you know, of the word of the Lord. But I pray that the Lord would bless us and keep us all safe in his arms and all like that. Amen. So it's good to see you. Good to be here. Amen. Now, remember, the Lord willing, this coming Sunday, Brother Bob will take one service, Brother Luis the other. I don't know which way, but they will be taking the services this coming Sunday. All right. Wade will be taking the coming Wednesday. Then he's going to be gone for a couple of weekends, and there's going to be some scattering about there and picking up here and some be preaching here and different things until we get through this time. But remember that. All right. We wanted to announce it ahead of time now because, you know, you that way we can be everything ready without having to worry about it. But this church started here on July the 4th, 1971. It was a Sunday service. So it's odd this year that it has fallen back to be 50, you know, and coming through and doing the Jubilee and the things. And it has come into the basis of saying, okay, July the 4th, 1971 again is here, but it's got quite a few years between it, right? So it will be on the Sunday the 4th, okay? This is what I hope we can do and get everything done, and we'll plan it. Is we're going to try to have like a Saturday night service, all right, and have that. And then we're going to have a Sunday morning service, which would be on the Jubilee time, on the Sunday morning service. And then we'll have a dinner following, which we'll cater and everything, get it all done. There won't be any problems, but it'll be our 50th anniversary of this church, because it's something for to think about it. I just hope that it don't happen the way that it happened then. Most of you remember at least a little bit. You've heard the story. We were not parking in the back or anything. We had no parking except the front right here and one car down in the whole lot. And as a guy came down the road, running pretty fast because there was a man chasing him, trying to stop him, you know, was the reason we know what happened. And the guy was, it's peeled up, but he was on prescription drugs. And he hit every car that was parked out here. There was five cars lined up here. He hit one, knocked it into the other, and all like that, and hit every car that was here. So that's how the services started in this church. And we pray that God will not maybe let it happen again, because if it does, at least we'll be parked in the back. We'll make sure that nobody parks up front this time to do. But I thank God for all of the years he's taken care of us and all, because Brother Moat, that day we were ending the service, and this is the way it was. We've got it on sound at least, and he said, let's sing one more song and be dismissed. We're fixing to start that song, and I don't know. We used to know what the song was, but I guess we could find that tape and all. But anyhow, we sang one song, started it all. And about that time, here it goes, crash, bang, boom, bang, bang, you know. And it's just cleaning up a big old Cadillac. It just tore that thing all to pieces, but tore everything we had all to pieces. That evening we came back. We had to do and use our secondary car, because it total lost mine, total lost Brother Moat's car. But every one of them, and we had to use a secondary car to get here. But we got here, and we've been going ever since. Now, people didn't want to come around and park in front with us. So after that happened, they would kind of get back in these streets somewhere here. But there was a man that Brother Moat was been around here, you know, and knowed all the people. And he was the mayor. And it was amazing, because he came and he said, we know what happened out there, and said, you know, your kids and all be out in front. Said, what we want to do, said, we want to clear off in the back. See, we were just renting the building. And he said, we want to clear off the back there. And Brother Moat said, well, if y'all will clear it off, we'll buy the gravel and the things and get it put down. And you know that man died 1 month from that time. So maybe that was his life's reward. Like to think about it anyway, that was a reward for him, because he didn't have to do that. But they come volunteered it, and everything's been good. We've got along good with the city, you know, all of our times being here. But just, you know, just, I mean, that's a long ways down the road now. That's 3 or 4 months away. So we can make arrangements, we can get everything settled, and get it all fixed up to where it can happen on that day. And we're just trying to do what's right as much as we can, all right? You try to have services and invite a lot of people. We're opening doors for the viruses to come in among us. And we don't need to do that. So let's do it as we announced, like always before. Church service is basically what's here. We can't help it when somebody comes in, and that God will take care of that. But we can keep some people from coming in from way off and bringing in diseases like that or something among us. And I'm this way. If I was going to your church and you made that schedule, I would abide by your schedule. It wouldn't. I bless God, if he don't want me at that church that certain day, I'll just go somewhere. That, well, goodbye. They ain't no problems. I don't have no problems with you. Just goodbye. Because if you're going to be the arrogant and hateful about it and think your little pity-patty feelings is being hurt, well, get your pity-patty feelings hurt and just go somewhere else. You say, you're not taught like that. Well, why not? Why not? That way we're just trying to keep things from getting out of hand. And so much of this virus and stuff coming among us, right? So that's always what we're doing. It's hard to do in that situation, but I do the best I can to try to make the rules and all like that. So we should have both, you know, we should all abide by them and do things in order to try to do it, okay? All right. Father, we thank you that you are God and you change not. We thank you that you are the great I am. And Father, we believe you and we trust in your grace and love will be down with each one of us tonight as we try to talk about you, because it's truly all is within your hands. And Father, we ask you to forgive our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Lord, just let your love be there. And there's no way that we could comprehend your love, but we can just enjoy it and have a good time about it. Have your way with each one. Bless the sick among us. Bless Brother Kern, our Lord, and for Sister Urego, and just the different ones that are sick among us. Just reach down and touch each one and just have your way. Remember the elderly and all, Lord, and just guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Ephesians. We'll begin with chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him. Now, I like that. And they even, you know, circle to let you know what it's talking about. In him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, I attempted to bring some things out Sunday of talking about predestination. All right. I think we need to emphasize strong statements to let you know where we stand. And in doing that, then you say, I just don't agree with that. Well, that's all right. That's your business. Then when you ask me, what do I stand on? Where do I stand? That's where I stand. I stand on what I can believe about the Word of God and what God has delivered to us through all of these years that he has guided us and taken care of us and brought us through all of the problems and heartaches and troubles that's been in the world and all kind of things, and brought us to a place that we can, you know, relax and say, okay, we've come this far, so there ain't no need to throwing up our hands. Let's just keep going. Let's just keep on walking and doing the best we can do and following in the love of God. All right? And I was talking about it because the little thought was is, you know, predestination. You remember we've done a little series there on the Godhead made simple, trying to break that down to where we could understand. And then that way you can say, well, okay, we used everything that we could use. I did or tried to, that thinking that even somebody else would come up with an idea of this and that or the other, I tried to cut that off into as much as I could of understanding of the truth of God's Word. And that's what I want to do in this part now. We had a service about it. We'll take this in part two. I don't know what we'll do from on out. That's no problem. We'll try to survive somewhere and have something to preach on. But what was our thought now? Predestination made plain. I didn't give you any more notes, any more thoughts other than just leaving it to where we could just take this and look over it and follow it and go through into what we want to cover for the night. All right? Predestination made plain or simple. You know, if we take everything in a simplified way, what a wonderful thing it would be. That was one thing I was trying to explain and have tried to explain about this book, this Bible. You know, this is a Bible written about people. People all the way through. People, you know. It's not necessarily written about this, that, or that. It's written about people. You know, because it covers people from the beginning, all of the things, and then it winds up in the end that we get down to the end of the story. Only thing I like about this book, I've read it for years and years, and I went to the end of it and go back to the beginning and go to the end of it. And you know what? I've never found the end of it. Have you ever found the end of the Bible? I never have. You know, like a story being in life, it would say, the end. Or they riding off, you know, into the sunset on the horseback and saying, the end. Yeah. Well, there's no way to put an end to the Bible. I've told you what I believe and the reason I believe it. I believe we're just getting enough of the Word of God while we are here in this world to be able to understand the things that are coming. And the prophet said God would give us his message of cheer down through the endless ages. What about that? It's just, we're just now beginning. Because, see, I've thought about just doing it. And you know, you could start, and we've been doing it, but we just didn't call it that way. And these brothers are doing it. These ministers are doing it. Is, you know, you can just read what happened in Genesis. Well, you know what? They were the people who made that manifest. You know, it said, and this, and he created this, and he done this. And, you know, somebody or something made that manifest. All right? See, then we're still in the writing of the book. It's not finished. We're in the writing of the book. It's talking about us now. This is not talking about the disciples. It's not talking about Abraham. It ain't talking about David. It ain't talking about it. It's talking about me and you. We are the ones that the end of the world has come upon. All right. If we don't live out long enough to see the end of it, somebody will. But you know, that has to be somebody alive according to the Word. All right. Find yourself in the Word. But I tried to tell you, you know, you got the natural part written there. All right? You got all God said and all happened in with Adam and all that happened with Cain and Abel and the things and coming on down and coming to Abraham and all of the things. And you see every bit of that. You realize those people made that manifest. All right? Now, if I can get to the story part of it, I'm wondering how it's going to happen and what is going to come forth in the message. Because I believe I see something, but I want to be able to make it to where you can see it. Because it wouldn't help nothing to be able to see it and then, you know, throwing it out and all. I want you to see it. And I want you to question it. We should have questions and answers. I love questions and answers. I wish we could get back and maybe we can make some plans to have one like a Saturday night questions and answers like we've always had before. I enjoy that. That is a wonderful time. We can sit further apart. We can move around. We can do things and not be so congested in doing it. You know, we can handle the things, but I enjoy questions. And Brother Branham said, questions makes a strong church. Now, he says a lot of things that's hard to be understood. The Bible says a lot of things that's hard to be understood, right? How could questions make a strong church when the Bible tells you to not fool with questions? They gender strife. Right? All right. You say, say what the prophet said. He said the Bible is the word of God. All right. All we got to do is just read it. But see, we try to read it our way. You know. And see, then the word of God is so perfect that we don't need to add anything to it or take away from it or try to figure it out. It's just read it. And it says, and God created. And that took place. You've heard your prophet say those lines. When it said, and God created the heavens and the earth. He said, amen. God created man. That was just God created man. That took place one day. Well, so is it now among us. I've told you, I believe we're living the Bible right now. If not, what do you think we're doing? I'd like to get your definition of what you think this world is like and what it's going to be or what it's going to turn. That's why I'm not concerned with it. I've told you over and over, this virus and stuff like that, that's tribulation that worketh patience. That is not the tribulation, because if it is, you and I are lost. Now, that's as plain as I can make it and back it up with the Bible, because we're not supposed to be here in the tribulation. Well, that makes it simple then. Yeah. Look how simple the Bible is. The bride's not going to go through the tribulation. All right. You know what that means? I can look around and say, well, okay, we're still here. If I am part of that and a part of the bride, then there can't be no tribulation taking place. Oh, there can be all kind of things happening. No, but there can't be because I'm here. You don't think of yourself like that? Think of living the Word. We've talked about the Word and how the Word is to be made alive. Well, think about it. You're part of the Word. Then God is not complete without you. Because you're His children. Okay, let's get on to the point. So, predestination made plain to us is one thing. We can read notes. We can go through where the prophet told us that predestination, you know, looks forward to destiny. Foreknowledge goes back. We can go through all of the quotes and the bringing down of these things. And that's wonderful. And I tried to do that a little bit there with you last Sunday. You know, of the services of doing it. But what are we doing? What are we looking for something else? Because if it's made plain, and it's plain what the prophet said he had to say, the Bible is full of it. Those who he foreknew, he did predestinate. Right? Elect according to foreknowledge. Well, which comes first then? Foreknowledge or predestination? Then your prophet comes along verifying it, quote after quote after quote, throughout the message, especially when you get into the later years after the opening of the seals. I don't mean it brings out a different thing. It just brings out deeper meaning, deeper understanding. See, if you're going to talk about, now people this message like to get into these type of things. They like to think about, oh, I always was eternal. I always was eternal, Brother Dale. I can just feel it. Feel it. Well, let me say it to you this way. If you can bring, that's why these people don't come, because they know better about tackling what's being said. You come and you bring all the quotes about the fact of you being eternal. And you know what I'll finish by saying? The prophet said, predestination looks back to foreknowledge. Foreknowledge looked to destiny. So if you always was eternal, then that's in God's foreknowledge. Of course, we don't believe it that way. Sure, I believe that the fact that God, when he foresaw it, sure, we are here. And when we reach the position of understanding, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost into your soul was made eternal. Right, all right. Then made eternal by the life of God coming into you, then you can say, my soul always was eternal because it is in the basis of God giving it to me. But it don't mean that it was there until a time come. That's what I'm wanting you to see about predestination. It's very simple. You just look at it. You just read it. And you say, there it is. But see, you come with the points of trying to bring some great doctrinal thing. All I'm going to do is just keep saying it. God looks back to foreknowledge. And predestinated all things by foreknowledge. But you see what people don't want to do? They don't want to tie together all of the whole story. And to think it this way, that everybody in the world, that ever has been in the world, ever will be in the world, all is predestinated by God's foreknowledge. That's simple then. You ain't trying to figure out a bride for this part here. You ain't trying to figure out this to fit over here and this to go there. Right? It's all by foreknowledge. God foreknew. And if he didn't foreknow it, if he's not capable of foreknowing it, what kind of a God do we have? See, I always say it, and I'm sorry, and God knows my heart on the point, but I always say, what do we think we got, a peanut brain for a God? I like that illustration the prophet gave, said, a gnat, and every time it bat its eye, and how much taller it would make. I like that. You know what that means? That means God foreknew all things. That means he's infinite. He don't have to think it over. And when he says, this will happen, why can't we believe that'll happen? You see, but the point of what I'm getting at, see, it's like the woman in the White House. See, before the foundation of the world, you think God didn't know that? But there wasn't a time that could take place until now. But now that's taking place. All right. Like Terrence said, if we'd a bunch of dummies and have thought it out back when the prophet said, that the Catholic Church had, what was it, 68 billion or something of what they had. And if we'd have just thought of that about 1970, somewhere right in there. And you know, gold. If we'd have just thought of that and went and bought a whole bunch of it. Look how rich we'd be. You don't think that way? Look how rich we'd be. I ain't trying to be rich, but I'm trying to talk about the truth. So anything that you see taking place that the Bible speaks of. Now, are you following me? Listen, because I'm trying to get a point, and then we'll move over a little. Everything that you can think about it, whether it be World War I, World War II, and World War III, that had to take place. Because the Bible had said it. That was not an addition to the Word of God. That was the three woes, the things of the Bible. All of that was in there in the Scriptures. And yet we were trying our best to figure out what this means. Like I've told you, and I'm not throwing off on him, my brother-in-law, he believed that mark of the beast and the thing like that. He believed they had a big old King Kong animal going to war, a man or something, walk across the earth. I looked at him, I said, is that going to be deceiving? I mean, when you got a big old King Kong animal walking, what has that got to do with religion? And even if it did happen that way, it would be the fact of God's foreknowledge coming into being that he had predetermined it because of the foreknowledge he had. That's simple. It's simple to think about predestination if you think of it that God foreknew all things. So you're questioning whether or not God is real. But you see, how does God predestinate? By his foreknowledge. Anything that's going to take place into the world is already written in the book of life, because that's what I love about it. All whose names were not written. You know, a lot of people's names was not written in here, but it was written about them. Right? It was written about them. Then you can say their names was in there. What does it mean their names were not in there? They're not part of the Word. That's just what I want to get to if I can in the message. If I don't, I'll get it later. What's the difference in salvation for the Old Testament and salvation for the New? I will make the statement and stand by the statement. Whatever saved Abraham will save you. If you get it right. A lot goes between there. Because see, Abraham was back there under the blood of bulls and goats. We're under the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay, but still, there's one thing about it. God foreknew it. God foreknew it. I ask you a simple question. I like that away. I listened the other day and I thought, why do I keep saying that? I want to ask you a simple question. I just want to ask you a simple question. Does God predetermine by his foreknowledge, or does he predetermine by his desires? He can't predestinate by his desires and the fact that he desired that all be saved. Right? He didn't desire anybody to be lost. We choose those things. But you think he didn't know your choice? But yes, see, we want to take something on the side and pull it over and work it around so much like that. God didn't choose me. I didn't choose God. God chose me. All right? You're right. But if you use it wrong, you're wrong.
That's right. Yeah,
well,
amen.
Right?
Amen.
You just use that little statement the wrong way. You're wrong.
Amen.
Because remember one thing. God can't override your free moral agency. He will not save you. He will not make you be saved. He couldn't set back before the world and predetermine you to be saved, but at the same time predetermine you to be lost. Now, what kind of a God is that? I'm trying to get us to the point of one thing. How simple it is. If we just think about it correctly. God foreknew, foresaw, foreordained, predetermined, whatever the thoughts or ideas that you want to put in it. All things.
Amen.
You think he didn't know everything? You think he knew some things, but he didn't know the other? Well, what I like about it is that he foreknew everything, but then he turned around one day and said, blessed is the man to whom God will not impute sin. And the same man he said that about, which was David, the same man he said, he's a man after my own heart. He's a murderer and adulteress. He's... What? You see? It's not made to be figured out that way. You don't question why he did it. I can ask you a question. What made God come to you and save you when the world is full of a whole lot better people than you and me? You agree with that?
Amen.
That do a whole lot more for God than me and you, David, do.
Amen. Right. That's right.
What's this all about? Who triggered what? Who brought what into being? If you'll simply go back to the basis of God foreknew, then you got a starting point. You got something to anchor it in. You don't have to question. You look back and said, he's seen this. He saw that woman walk in the White House. That was his word. To me, that's as much of the word of God as it is of anything else you could talk about. Russia, China, whatever. All those things are in the Word of God. There's a natural book that is called the Bible. I don't know whether that'd be the correct way of saying it, in a natural book, I guess. But it's, anyway, it's a book that contains all things. Because remember one thing. According to the book of Daniel, you got to deal with books. There's more than just one book.
Yes. Amen.
There's one book of life. There's one book of the sinner. You got books.
Amen.
Why? Because it takes all of that to cover the world.
Right.
See, that way he has a place of knowing what to do. And I've always tried to get you to look at something in the correct way. I believe in predestination like this. That was in the denominational world we used to teach it, because I remember that. They used to teach that the ark was so big that everybody in the world could got on it if they'd wanted to. And I remember then saying, No. He made it for exactly how many they were.
Right?
He never left an extra space just in case one of the guys crawls on. We haul him around for 3 or 4 months on the outside and we let him come inside and we give him a space. Nah, that's just all silly. That's what I'm trying to be. It's silly with you. He knew exactly how many that ark would hold. They didn't have a crash on the food because it wasn't enough. Everything was there. He made it all. But you know what? Now listen. That's in this book as a natural story. Because that was a man not under the blood of under the blood of Jesus Christ.
That's right. Amen.
That was a man that dwelt back there when it was not under the salvation that we talk about. But think about it. What caused, if you'll take it and just get to predestination, get it straight, of the foreknowledge, then you can answer the question. What caused or determined what God would do when this world started. It can't be what he wanted to do. We know that. We can read those things in the prophet because he didn't do it. All right? But it can be from the basis that he knew all things. Then if he knew all things, then why are we worried about it? Well, Brother Dale, I'm just worried whether I'm saved or not. Well, why? The Bible tells you how to be saved. Right? Tells you exactly the way to be and what to do and everything. And God has written his word to tell us those things. You think he won't keep his word? If it's not by foreknowledge, what would it be by? And if it is by foreknowledge, then why can't we believe it? Why can't you take your healing on the basis of foreknowledge? Because according to foreknowledge, the Bible says, they see he stood as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world, which could heal, could deliver, could save, etc., etc. Right? That's his foreknowledge. Well, all you got to do is find out what day you're living in. Brother Brown said, God predestinated a seed for every age. A word for every age. But we want to go with what we're thinking about. Oh, I'm always was eternal. If you always was eternal, then Jesus Christ died in vain. Because he was predetermined. Predestinated, foreknowledge, to die for the sins of the world according to the scriptures. Chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Well, you know, it's over with. Why can't we believe it that way? See, we're wanting it to happen when I'm trying to tell you the Bible is so full of what has already happened. Why should I worry about what's going on now? Amen. I should rejoice. Amen. And say, thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. What caused God to predetermine? Are you listening? What caused him to predetermine? If you're going any other way than the fact of his foreknowledge, then you're making him setting the destiny of all things. And if he doesn't do everybody the same way, then we're all in bad trouble. But you see, the sinner can't say, you made me wrong. He says, I sat down, I done everything. He said, I even sent my word. And brought it to you. Now, we're not talking about down through the ages and the time. We're talking about right now. Like Woe was saying one day, he said, ain't no need to worry about Abraham. That's done. But you have never thought about. I was trying to express it our Sunday and just easing along with it. Because you never thought about. Why would Abraham be called a friend of God? And why would he be called the father of the faith? Amen. He is our father in the basis of the gospel. And what was that? That's why I love the scriptures. It gives you the answer. Abraham believed God not in the scripture. And it was imputed or imparted or preset. You didn't never thought about it. It just hit me when I started on this trying to get things. And I know I can't get it the way I want it. But you know that Abraham was given an unconditional covenant. Now, does that mean that Abraham can do anything he wants to do and get by with it and still be saved? What about it? What is an unconditional covenant? What about it being a covenant that was God predetermined this to be that way? But why? And how could he do it with Abraham? Especially because we're staying with the Old Testament for you to understand it that way. How could it be if those that are not in the new birth and the age and the things that we are, and to think about Abraham and him be a friend of God? I don't believe in the fact that God picks one and casts off the other one. No. But I do believe that according to foreknowledge and the natural writing of this Bible, that did take place. Exactly. Because he loved Jacob and hated Esau. How could it be anything that God could hate when he is not the author of hate? What are you doing? What are you thinking? But Abraham didn't have anything to do with it. Well, what stirred God one day? And he went down to a man. Genesis 12. And he said, Abram, come and follow me. Now, if I went to your house in the morning, knocked on the door, and you came to the door, whether it be sister or brother, you know, but especially to the brothers, because they're a little more hard-headed in a lot of things. Huh? How would it be that I'd knock on the door and I'd say, go with me? Well, where are we going? You know yourself, and I'd be right along with you. I wouldn't jump up, okay, let's go. And you don't listen. Something happened when God contacted Abraham that put him in a position that never put the rest of the people in the world. He walked down through on the shores, the Lord Jesus of the shores of Galilee one day, and he said, Peter, come on. Paul, come on. He did with Paul later, come on. Because I'm doing exactly what Brother Branham did. I was listening to him last night. We were on a tape. And I sat there and I grinned. I thought, He said, Mark, you come on and do this. And I thought, something ain't right now around here. Now see, Mark was not an original disciple. Paul was not an original disciple. I was just talking of terminologies and using it like he uses it. But that didn't mean he was all so far wrong. He made a human error in speech. Because he was a human being. But isn't it something that he turned to those disciples? He said, come on. Man, you get that old Matthew with that tax collector. Boy, that would be hard, wouldn't it? But all he was after is money anyway. And yet they just lay down everything and they go walking with him. Well, how many people along the shores of Galilee that day did he stop and talk to and say, come and follow me? Now you're saying you're making it, I'm making it the truth of what I'm talking about. Cause you got I got just as much a right to say it this way as you got a right to take yours. You say you're using it in the wrong way. Why? Because for some reason, he stopped and spoke to Peter. For some reason, he spoke to James, John. For some reason. What was that reason? What reason was it with Abraham? Abraham, come and follow me. He gives up everything he's got. Now, the Bible don't tell it that way, but we're living in a different world. I ain't throwing off on you women because it's the same with men today. It's just a messed up world all the way around. But how many of you wives would have, when Abraham walked in and said, come on, let's go, pack up. Where are we going? Well, I don't know. Well, I ain't going. He said, oh, yeah. Well, you know the only reason they'd go? Well, not because they loved Abraham. Because it'd be the fact that they didn't have no husband if they didn't go with Abraham. So they quickly got up and went and kept their mouth shut. Is that an illustration without an understanding or a problem? But Sarah just got up and went out. He goes away over there and he gives her away a couple of times. How many of you wives would like it that way? But you know, God wasn't looking at him giving away his wives. I mean, his wife. He wasn't looking at all of those things. God wasn't looking at that with Abraham. But what was he looking at? We'll solve the whole case of predestination by getting an understanding of what I just said. What was it there in that man called Abraham that God would love? When you get that and figure it out, we're going to go to David and say, a man after God's own heart. See, what are you thinking? I'm thinking of one way. There was something, if you want to think about you come into this world with anything, you know, everybody in the message, oh, I come into the world with this seed in me. This a seed of what? The prophet said it was a seed of representation from predestination. Amen. Now, that's what he said it was. And the representation from predestination will go all the way back to the foreknowledge.
Amen. Right. Yes.
And you're still in the book.
Right.
But what about those disciples? They just turn along and walk off. I gave the story of me that I had the opportunity. I could have done a lot of things. But one day, when God crossed my path, I had to walk. I had to leave and go. Because I knew something was talking to me. I couldn't explain it and still can't today. Because there ain't no need of you trying to explain it. It's just the fact of believing it. Something was different about you. Now, quote Brother Branham. He said, there was something about you was different all along. Well, now, what was he saying? Could that be what saved you? Could it be what Abraham done back there was the very fact of salvation for the day? Now, we're not talking about the Old and New Testament. We're talking about salvation for the time or whatever it takes to be. Because Abraham could not accept Jesus Christ as his Savior because Jesus Christ hadn't died. All right. But something clicked inside of that man called Abraham. He said, I'll go with you. That's not over in the story where he meets him a lot of times and blesses him and changes his name. That's when he first started. That was when he was Abram. Nothing whatsoever. But yet when he walks out with God, God looks back and says, that's what I knew it'd take. That's what I knew it'd take. And he's following me. What about you and me? What about the first day you met God? Some old preacher preaching or some mother talking or grandmother talking, whatever it is. Can you think back of when that was?
Yep.
What if that's where you started? Brother Run said you start your eternal life right here at the altar.
Right. Right.
Now let me state it in this way of saying it. You start your eternal life here in this world. You didn't come into the world with eternal life, because if you did, there's no salvation involved. There's nothing whatsoever.
Right.
You say, well, Brother Dale, you're trying to say something that sounds like you're saying that we have something to do with our salvation. We must accept it.
Yes, amen.
If we don't accept it, it will do us no good.
Amen.
Did he make, according to the Bible and according to the prophet, did God make a man and put him on the earth as a free moral agent? Is that true? He made you a free moral agent. He can't override that. But see, we say, but we hear the prophet. The prophet said we had nothing to do with it. That God saved me and I didn't have anything to do with it. I know I didn't have anything to do with the fact of eternal life or anything like that. But we have to have a point of receiving it. If you don't have the point of receiving it, when are you going to get it? You going to go back that way to try to find it, or go that way to try to find it? See, foreknowledge means knowledge to know everything prior to when we got here. You think Peter and him thought about that when they walked off with the Lord Jesus and said, well, this is just predestinated. I think whatever happened to Abraham that made Abraham just lay down everything he had and go follow a man. And you know what? He had no more contact with him for maybe years. I don't know how long it is, from 12 to 15 to 18 or whatever. It doesn't make no difference if it was a week or a month or whatever. He never had no contact with that man for a long time. What are you trying to talk about, Brother Dale? I'm trying to talk about one thing for certain. If you have eternal life today, God saw you back there.
Amen.
But he saw you the day you received it here. May I quote the prophet? Jesus Christ stood as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Now paraphrase it, because I don't remember exactly, but I know it's close. Brother Run said, see there, before the foundation of the world. He said, but that had to happen now 2,000 years ago to be in reality. He said, in other words, the fact of it happening was 2,000 years ago. It wasn't 4,000 years ago. It wasn't 8,000 go back before the foundation of the world or whatever you want to do with it. No, what it was. It was right there. It was right there in the book. See, our salvation is written in the book. See, you come over into the New Testament with it. You should be able to see more and to realize that you have to go through. See, Abraham didn't go through justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost to try to come to the doing. No, he went through life as a natural man. That every once in a while he'd make contact with that eternal God, that Melchizedek. That person would come and appear to him and talk with him and tell him how his name has changed and all kind of things. But it never brought him to a new birth. You see, you have to go through justification, the call of God unto your life. The Bible speaks of the goodness of God calls us to repentance. We must go through a sanctification, a cleansing, a setting aside. And then we must go through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But what if we won't go? What if we think we already have it because of this, that, or the other? When I heard Brother So-and-so preach it, I always was eternal. What I need to get eternal life when I always had eternal life. Now, that's exactly what they're saying. He said, but you just don't understand eternal life. I'll agree with you on that because there's one thing for certain. I believe the man Christ Jesus had within him while he was here in this world eternal life. But there was only one way that could be transmitted to any man. And that was through his death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and coming back on the day of Pentecost. Then you're able to have eternal life. Outside of that, all of our doctrines and ideas and things about what we always was, that has nothing to do with it. What are we now? You realize we're living our predestination time. We're in the destiny. Yesterday was a day. Today is another day. We may rejoice in what we're doing one day, but remember the next day we've got another day. Think about it. Was God planning on doing this? Or did he set back before the world and see it all by his foreknowledge? If you say he was planning it, but Brother Dale, you just don't understand how we are the seed of God and he planned this and he planned that. He couldn't plan it no different for anybody else than us. He has to give everybody the same opportunity. He had to offer it to everybody in the world, or he's a respecter of person, and he's a predeterminer without having a foreknowledge. What about him having the foreknowledge to be able to stand here in this world and say, Father, take me back and open up a little bit of the Word and let me know how it was when me and you was together before the world. Paraphrasing it, but you understand? Give us me the honor and the glory that we had before the world. Amen. You know that before the world, he stood as a lamb. Yep. Now come on, folks. I ain't so weak in my doctrine to understand that I don't understand one thing for certain. Because I've always explained it. What happened with Adam and Eve in the garden? One split second in the presence of Almighty God with sin in your heart and you're dead. Right. I don't care who we are. What kept Adam and Eve from being destroyed when sin had entered the picture in the garden? Was the fact that Almighty God had already predetermined by his foreknowledge to be back there and he would die on the cross to take care of Adam and Eve. What covered Adam and Eve was the predestination of Almighty God, the foreknowledge that he knew what he would do. He could predetermine it, yes, but not prearrange it. He could predetermine by his foreknowledge. Like I've always said, that's what Wade was in on it one day when he was talking here. I remember, and he said, "Hey, Daddy really had me going because I'm a funny way of believing things, I guess." And I've just always been that way. And I was trying to explain something one day about predestination, and I said, there was a girl over there that, you know, I could have dated and married her, but if I'd have married her, I'd have been a Methodist preacher. And he just kind of laughed about it, but it took quite a while for him to understand what I was talking about. I was talking about this old Baptist preacher. That it took, I think it was 7, 8, or 9 preachers to preach his funeral. So you know he was a good man. And I thought when I was seeing him, you know, and I thought, well, God, why didn't you choose him? Why didn't you reveal this message to him? Knowing he's such a wonderful guy. But see, somewhere, all he had to do was turn down just a little bit. And it put him in the wrong side. But that would have been God's foreknowledge. The man by foreknowledge stood in a position before the foundation of the world. But one day he came to that place. You know that one of these days somebody is going to say, the rapture is in motion and we're here. And you know what? It's going to put it that way. Why do you worry about anything? Why are you concerned about anything? I'm concerned with one thing. Something happened in the man named Abraham that made God stop. Turned around. Said, Abraham, come on, follow me. He said, I don't know what's going on. I don't understand nothing about it. But I got enough sense to know I got to follow him. And see, there was his predestination. There was his destiny that was set before the world. Abraham's destiny was set before the world, and there he had to meet God. Your destiny was set before the world ever begun. Whether we're predestinated to heaven or hell, we are predestinated one way or the other. See, we make our own choice then. Choose you this day, the Bible says. Choose it. In other words, step out on it. I told you about it. There I left that Baptist church and I walked out. I went to an old barbecue pit in the backyard and just sat down there and squalled my heart out. I said, God, I done messed it all up now. I can't go back there. So I just have to go on with you. Help me to understand. I believe everything and everybody is predetermined. But it's by foreknowledge. It's not picking and choosing. It's by foreknowledge. All right? What causes God to put in your heart the ability to follow after him? If he don't put it there, you won't follow him. Oh, I believe this message. I believe everything the prophet said. I believe. Well, what about it then? If there's a seed for every age, there's a predestinated person to make that seed live. Because it's not a natural seed in the body, it's a word. He predestinated somebody to that place. See? Predestination looks back to foreknowledge. Foreknowledge then looks to destiny. Yeah, I've heard people in the message, and you have too, say, oh, I just believe I was in the mind of God. Well, so was Judas Iscariot. But you're not getting my point. I'm talking about me. So what are you trying to do, make yourself something? I look at myself as being the biggest garbage can it could ever be. Old Brother Collie, years ago, I remember he was ministering a little bit, and I got up here and told it I was the chiefest of all sinners. And he got up behind me on the next time he spoke, and he rebuked me to high heaven. He said, he ain't never lived like I have and the rest of us live. I said, Brother Collie, that ain't got nothing to do with it. Because that wasn't what I was talking about. The chiefest of sinners is the one that's the closest. Closest to the truth. Judas Iscariot must have been a pretty good guy because he was chosen by everybody to be the treasurer and all of the things. There was no arguments, no problems. What are you saying? I'm saying one thing. What do you think about what triggered God to stop in your path and invite you to come with him? When your neighbor looks like a way on a better guy and looks like, and he talks about how that God has dealt with him and all kind of things, I ain't going to argue with him. You say, no. Woman preacher, come up and say, God called me to preach. For what did Brother Renner say? He said, I'm not going to tell her that God didn't call her. He said, but I will tell her it's not according to the word. Right? But what's so odd is that that woman preacher can preach the gospel, and the gift that is within her heart as a being of what it is, God can use that to call his children to salvation. Am I right? Well, I still see how you're not looking at it right. You're not looking at the anointing that's striking her instead of her personal. It wasn't an anointing to Abraham. It was a reality. Hey, wait a minute. Nobody has ever talked this way. You ain't never said that about this prophet's message. I've sat down and just sat there and just listening to him talk and say, never a man spake like that man. Because he could just bring it out so simple. He'd say, he predestinates by his foreknowledge. So by his foreknowledge, I'm standing here tonight. You're sitting where you are. By God's foreknowledge. But I just don't, I'm just trying to get you to think about. Brother Branham said, I gave him to you last week, he said, God knew what Abraham would do. He said, God knew that he would teach his children. What was Abraham? A special guy? No. But there was just something about him that he loved God. Read Hebrews 11 and think of all of the great warriors of faith and how that each one of them had a connection to God in a special way. What was that connection? Were they special people? No, no. Don't get on that line. There was nothing special about them. Amen. The special about Abraham was he could believe God. Now come on, he's called a father of faith. And what is Hebrews 11? By faith, Abraham. By faith, this one. By faith, that one. What about Moses? What about the guy had come up and, now don't get into your Ten Commandments and correct Brother Branham. He'll tell you, Brother Branham will tell you that Moses' mother taught him while he was sitting on her knee. According to the Ten Commandments, Moses didn't know it till he was about 45, 50 years old. And then he happened to read the hieroglyphics on the wall. Now, according to the prophet, Moses knew all of his life he was the leader. But he said, I can't do it. He said, but Moses, you're predestinated to be the great deliverer. He said, that may be true. But he ain't told me yet. He ain't made that real yet. One day on the backside of a desert facing a pillar of fire. Brother Brown said he learned more about God in, what was it, 5 minutes than he had of all of his life or something. I mean, so many years or something. What did he learn? There's been something about me this, he'd be thinking, there's something about me that's been always kind of funny. He said, I thought it was just mama talking. You know? Well, she was telling him, you are not the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That's what Brother Brown said she was telling him. And he went out and he killed an Egyptian trying to help his people. Trying to be the deliverer. But that was not the one that God was looking for. Too much man left. Too much a problem. How about me and you? But when he met God on the backside of the desert, that man went out. And that God came in. He said, I can't do this. I can't talk. He said, okay. You ought not be like that and act that way. In other words, God spoke. But he said, I'll just give you Aaron. He'll do you talking. So everything Moses would try to come up with, God would just have it ready. Just in the natural, you know, just go ahead. Here goes Moses. Now, how are you going to do it? You're going to pack up and go over to a country like Russia or something like that, and you're going to walk in there, you and another guy, you know, and you're going to walk in there and you say, I've come to take over. Right? And you look over and there's one, two. The one I like is when he says there in the scripture, you know, which one of them was, it said there's more for us than there was for them. Elisha. Well, he could only count to two. But when the eyes was opened to the man, when he reached his predestinated determined spot, he looked around and saw angels all around that man. He says, ain't no word about it. We'll just take over the whole world. Because he knew what was there with him. See, church, you and I have got to realize, I'll bring this back a little bit more in the message of predestination. You know, you can just take time and read. If you don't believe it, by what your prophet that you've heard him say it. If I've got to read it and they say this is on to you, then there's one thing for certain. That is not what contacted God. What contacted God, if you'll listen 1 minute now that I'm trying to explain it, what contacted God, whether it be Moses, Abraham, David, or the disciples, or the prophet of God for our day, did he run like everything, try to get away from his calling? Then something happened one day and he just said, I ain't running no more, I'm sorry. Amen. You realize that's exactly what calls you for salvation. Amen. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Repentance is justification. Then you come to that and you come to the point of being sorry for your sins and you come to all of those things and you're dealing with it in life. Then you come to sanctification. Then you come to the baptism of the Holy Ghost and all of those things fits in. And all it is just part of the plan of God. Part of his predestinated plan. You understand what I'm trying to say? If you've met God in the person of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the new birth, as the Bible preaches, as the prophet preaches, as the apostles, all the people preaches it. If you've met him like that, then he'll come to you. Because he's got something to work on. But if you don't know him like that, then you don't know him as your Savior. That's why we've tried to explain it. You can come through justification and come to sanctification. And you know what? You get new desires, new thoughts and everything at sanctification. and you start loving God and His ways and wondering what's taking place in the world and the doings. Just don't get caught at that spot.
That's right.
Go on. Just find you a place somewhere. Come on, musician. Find you a place somewhere to get down and just say, Lord. Ever what you was there back there that caused you to stop with Abraham? See, the reason I said it and the reason I took it to do that part. See, you can say that it was through justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the new birth that caused it to pull over to God, and you would follow that way. Abraham and him didn't have that. That's why I've always preached it and always believed it. Abraham was a man. And when God got through with him, he had the father of faith. He could use him. Sure, he still had a lot of problems. Like I said, give his wife away a couple of times. All kind of things happened in his life. But yet still, God never did back off, because he told that king, he said, you better get down there and give that man back his wife. And that king said, look, I didn't have nothing to do with all of this because they messed me up. He said, I don't care because that's my prophet. And what you think about him ain't none of your business. Well, he ought to be apologizing to me. He said, that might be right, but he ain't your child. He's mine. And I contacted him one day, and he's followed me all these years. Can you say that you've followed God? You're the funniest preacher I ever heard, because you talk about choosing and not choosing. And what can it be? Did it go out of the book that God calling you to his salvation was the only thing that saved you, because that was the blood of Jesus Christ? To keep it simple. For the children, God has spoken to you in your life and said, come follow me. Just come follow me. I'll take care of everything. But Lord, I got so many problems. I got this. Just come follow me. I'll take care of it. If you don't ever think of one thing, if you don't agree with me, that's fine. But I'll tell you this away and still remember it. When that man Abraham was standing down there, there was a world full of people. And God could have had anybody. If your idea of predestination is according to the truth, God could have had anybody that he wanted, because he created them. He could have moved their path. He could have moved their point. But yet it wasn't. There was one man. One man that loved God. Do you realize what I'm getting at? Do you love God? Or are you afraid of him? Don't be afraid of him. In all of the things of life, don't be afraid of God. Sure, we don't want to be in the presence of Almighty God, right? Because we're human beings. But just remember, he did call you. You didn't call him. But when it was finished, you had to accept his call. Or it wouldn't be right. Predestination, foreknowledge, made a reality in present tense time, is where we're determined to be right here tonight. This message was meant for tonight. You say, Brother Dale, aren't you concerned about this? Listen, I'm not concerned but one thing. I want to serve my master. I'd like for it to be said that I was his friend. And a man that did not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost was that man, and his name was Abraham. Called the father of faith, or the father of the faithful. So you're saved by grace through faith, that not of works, lest any man should boast. I've always thought about I'd like to be the man that Abraham was. You say, you get in all your thoughts. It ain't mine. It ain't giving my wife away two times and doing all these other things. Don't get it. You get in a garbage can. Don't jump in. Don't expect me to get in there with you. I ain't talking like that. I'm talking about the truth. There was some reason that God come down to that man. And he stopped. And then on he had a servant. The father of faith. Till he wrote nearly a whole book. All of the Hebrews 11. Almost every time it's by faith Abraham, by faith Abraham, by this Abraham, by that Abraham. It's just constantly over and over about Abraham. Those were the warriors of faith that had something that you and I need. Let's stand. What do we got, brother?
25. I surrender all. Mm-hmm. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender
all. Something about the people that believe God and love him. Don't you think that'd be what you'd love your children? You want them to love you, don't you? Well, you gotta love them. It may take a while. It may take a while to come to the basis for us to understand what we're talking about on predestination. Because you see, next we got to cover what? You're predestinated unto adoption. You got a place reserved for you. And God can't complete this thing without you. So we got to base it on before the world begun. He would already see in his great mind everything that would ever be in the world. And he could see you and see your desire. See you longing for him. What do you think about him? Anybody has a need, just come and let's believe. Surrender all.
I surrender all. Only be my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Except this, the fact that God has already taken care of Brother Anderson's children. And we believe it. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we send these prayer clothes. Believe in you that by your stripes, little Sarah, little David are healed and all is well in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else?
I surrender all.
All. Just go ahead and hold it just a minute. Let's get, let Brother Boyd tell you what we're praying for, because we talked about it a while ago, and it's special.
Julie and Janet's cousin, Wendell Tony, is in the ICU. He's been out for about 4 weeks, unconscious. His vitals have been up and down, and there have been a little improvement here and there, but he has not awakened yet. And Janet's at the ICU right now. It's the first opportunity she's had to go in there, and we have some prayer cloths. She's going to be praying while we pray, and I was asking that the elders come with us and stand. And
when the elders come, the ministers, the elders come ahead.
And just pray right now that the Lord will do work. I was telling you, I remember the testimony where Brother Dale just shouted out the name of Randall on that person, but I know by faith that by calling us up and lifting us up in prayer, the same effect can happen.
Right.
And I believe that. And I just want us all to pray together while Janet's here right now, laying hands on him in prayer.
Let's believe it. We're sending these prayer cloths, okay? Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we're praying the moment that our sisters are praying about these things, and praying that you'd reach down and touch this person, and Lord, that you'd take it away. It's been quite a while, our Lord, that everything's been going wrong, but we believe you, and we thank you that by your stripes they're already healed, and we'd ask you to just make it manifest now. We believe it, and before the world ever begun, you paid the price. We love you, and we thank you for being our Savior. We send these prayer cloths in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay.
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
And also about the testimony I gave here a while back, Jan had another cousin that was out. He was on hospice 17 days and hadn't eaten, and we'd taken prayer cloths from this church and laid on him. And he was out, and we, Jeffrey and the kids and I all prayed, and Janet. A week later, we were in Saturday morning in our house. This gentleman, her cousin, comes running in the house, bouncing, praising the Lord. He said he heard everything that we had said. He'd been out 7 days on hospice. That's no eating or food or nothing. He said he didn't want to die, and he'd come with two, and it was just another testimony.
Amen.
The power of prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for your prayer.
Amen. We believe it. Sister Frieda called about her son. All of you have heard about it. And they was doing a test or something with a treatment they were doing. And they said that he did not breathe or was dead really for 15 minutes. And then he come to. Well, I believe it. I believe that. I believe it as well as can be. You say, yeah, but it's not. Well, Brother Branham said that little baby that he prayed for died that morning at 10 o'clock. And like 11 or 12 o'clock that night or something, he prayed. We've seen these things happen. Brother Darty talked to him about it. He fell out of a boat, and the man had to go get the boat, get it back up, get it turned back over, come back out and try to find where Brother Darty was at in the water, and he was standing there. And he had the rod and reel in his hand because they were fishing. He had to come back and find that place and find him until he found that rod and picked him up.
Boots filled out
with
water.
Yeah. His boots were filled up with water is what took him down, and he couldn't get back up. You know, he had these heavy workman's boots on. And they took him to the hospital, and we left. We got the word from the house. We left, and they said, how in the world did y'all get down here this fast? I don't really know. I ain't worried about it. Might have broke a few logs, but. You know, we got there as quick as we could, but there he was up in the bed talking. No telling how long he'd been under that water. I believe it. I believe it. We've seen those things. We've seen the sick healed, the dead raised, the thing. I was thinking about Randall the other day. See, he passed away just a few weeks ago or a month ago. And I was thinking, I thought, well, Lord, I guess it was just a point that I wasn't supposed to be over there because I'd thought a lot about going and seeing him. You know, and we'd always got along. But he'd tell you then, he'd tell people where we was at and hunting together. He said, Wade and this man here said they prayed for me and said I was dead. And I believe it. But God brought him back to life. I believe that too. He'll do the same for all of us if we just believe it, right?
That's right.
Father, we thank you for tonight, and we pray that what we've said is we've tried to make it a point, Lord, to get us all to understand one thing, that by your foreknowledge, you've seen everything we'd be and where we are here tonight. And everything's based on that. And Lord, it's not something for us to do and made us goody or anything else, but it's what you said. You said if we'd believe you, you'd make it possible. And we believe you and we thank you. Thank you for the healings. Thank you for the healings of this one here tonight, Lord. And we pray that we'll get to report. And we ask you to be with Frieda and her son there, Lord, and everything will be all right. And we pray that you'd bless the rest, Brother Kern and Sister Louise and all, Lord, that you'd just bring them all back and make everybody be back in love with you and fellowship one with another around the word of the Lord. We love you and we thank you. Be with everybody on the way home. Give a safe journey. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.
All to Jesus.
Everybody hear it? Sister Tootsie fell. You've done before and prayed, and we believe she fell and busted her kneecap wide open. They're going to have to operate in the morning. So remember her.